Hello, welcome to the Unsung Hero. I'm your host, Rob. Welcome to Stream Sheet Day 187. All right now, all right. Super happy to be here today and to be talking to you guys. Welcome to the show. Today's show, I'm going to be looking at, in case you need to know ahead of time, I'll be looking at the list from an upcoming Age of Sigmar event where there are sideboards available. It's happening at the Exploding Dice venue in Northern Ireland. And I'm very excited to talk about it. That's basically it today. And I hope you're all well. Welcome to the Twitch chat. That's what I really care about. What's going on, Twitch chat? Sorry again. Seb, how you doing? Hope you're well. Happy hump day. Happy to be here. Yeah. Oh, wait, it's Wednesday. I keep thinking it's Thursday, but it won't be. Thursday is when I'm joined by Nick and Tom. I can confirm now that on Friday, Vincey V... That's right, the big Vivi V from Warhammer Weekly will be talking to me about Skaven on Friday. It turns out me and him have hobby combined, and our current passions, for some reason, are both Skaven. So join me for that on Friday. But today I'll be looking at some lists, and I'm very excited to do so. Very excited indeed. But before we do that, I want to thank everyone on Patreon for supporting the Honest Wargamer. And of course, I'd like to thank all my podcasts for staying hydrated. Just like you know, I cleaned out my water bottle today. I think I hadn't cleaned it out for a while, so now it's all good. So I'm going to take a lovely sup of water. Mm. Yep, definitely still tastes like fairy liquid. That's a huge mistake. Oh, that's gross. Okay. how do you clean it? I did use fairy liquid in a brush, but I feel like I've made a huge mistake. Hello to Pete in the chat. So what's going on? W. Soren, K. Dread, what's happening? How are you? yeah, the event that we're about to talk about today with the sideboards is happening in Bangor. And as Sorry again says in the chat, Bangor, I hardly even knew her. Brilliant. Hello, Lee Bromley, what's going on? So we've been here for 187 days, and it looks like the stream streak and the lockdown is going to continue for a long time. So I'm very happy to join you guys. I would like to give you guys a quick hobby update before we get into talking about the lists. I mentioned on Monday night show that I'd ordered some black Milliput. Black Milliput? So I'm going to show you an example here. This is my Lord of Change base. So I did this last night. I think I did about 200 25mm bases and a couple of like whatever rattling gun bases are, small ovals. And then this large one. I used about three lots of black milliput. So that's about £15. I ordered them from Element Games, not sponsored or anything. That's just where I could find it. I think normal milliput's a bit cheaper. I have sprayed them as well. I did one run of black spray over the top, but not even half a can, like a little bit of a can. And it looks like really good. Normally my old process was to use like yellow milliput, build it up, put it on, and then I'd spray it. And like if I cared, on some other models, I normally put like other bits into the milliput, like maybe some basing or some scenic stuff. But yeah, I reckon in total, to get the stage where I'm at now, where it was black milliput spray, obviously I left them overnight, I probably have put about 3 hours into these, and I've managed to rock out 200 bases. I've got to do my normal basing scheme is, as you guys can see on the screen, podcast guys, I'm so sorry, is that. It's pretty simple to go from there. You just bang loads of red over it, yellow and then white, and it's a pretty quick paint scheme. As we all know, I'm not the greatest painter, but I am efficient, and that is that looks pretty good, I think. So black milliput is just milliput, and it seems to have, there you go, it seems to have like black color input inside it. My hands are a mess. I've scrubbed them as much as I can, but they still look pretty rough. Gitly uses Vallejo earth texture. It's so good. I've never used that. I've never ever used that. What I really like about the milliput is you can kind of use it as like a filler as well. So if you've got like a crack in a model. Oh, I also based my, I'm getting into all sorts of hobby displays now. I also based my Vermilord. Don't know what you guys think of that. I based it on an endless spell that I'll probably never use. Mainly because the base size was right. So, can you guys see that? Not too bad. good start. It was pretty fun. Yeah, anyway. So, oh, that is nice. Thanks, buds. I'll put some pictures up online later. It's not finished. And it's still not great, but yeah, I'm happy with that. My Vermilord warps here, all done. And again, the really nice thing of triangles, yeah, I put it on the Shards of Valigar base from the Forbidden Power. I generally think with the Ender Spells, I more than likely will probably never put the Shards of Valigar on the list. I think they're decent, so I'm like, well, and if I ever want to summon the Shards of Valigar, I'll just summon a Vermilord too. I mean, I won't use it as a Vermilord, but it's just a nice cool addition. He can be controlling them, right? Whatever. Isn't Milliput like green stuff? It's slightly different than green stuff because it's the thing I find with, and I don't have tons of experience with green stuff, that green stuff tends to stick and elongate more. I don't know if that's the right word. Whereas Milliput tends to like break apart and is quite crumbly is the texture I'd describe it as. So if you want, like, I haven't done any like chopping or anything. I don't know if you guys will be able to see on the screen there. I haven't done any chopping or anything like that. I just put it on with my hands, and it's got like a nice rough texture for you to dry brush. So it's quite nice. Anyway, it's probably the most hobby show I've ever done. did you base it with Toblerone? No, that would be good though. Rob, will you transmit next Hammer Time tourney on channel? We missed the battle reports. Info Storms, yes. The next Hammer Time tourney is not this weekend, next weekend? Fuck. I think, but I'll find out from Owen, and I will transmit it on Twitter, and I'll also leave it in some notes. Milliput is working is better for working than green stuff. Yeah, I much prefer the Milliput stuff. I think it's more manageable, is how I would describe it, if that helps. If you use a wet shaping tool, Milliput shapes well. Yeah, I know a lot of modelers who tend to use Milliput, especially for like larger models. They tend to use Milliput instead, like, you know, for joints over green stuff. And I don't have any evidence to back this up, but I feel like it just holds better Milliput. To think it like, whereas green stuff tends to just like eventually slip off. Anyway. Yeah, black Milliput is finer consistency than normal Milliput, but not as white. The most important bit is that it's black. So then, because normally with the other bits, other Milliput, you can see here. Right, so I'll stick it all over. This is way too hobby for me. So I'll stick it all over. And then I'll have to spray it, and then several times, like, and then if a bit breaks off, it's all yellow underneath. So I don't know if black Milliput's even new. Probably not even new, but it's my jam now. It's my jam. Next hobby show will be how to dry brush. Let me show you my dry brush. It's fucking massive. And it's super fucked. There you go. And I was like doing 25 mil bases with this. It's like one sweep. Swoop. Next dry brush will be this. 130 grams. Sorry again. Yeah, yeah. Like, that's what I've, yeah, it was only a fiver. So, if like, I got basing materials effectively for over 200 bases for 15 quid. That seems good. I feel pretty happy with that. Like, the Games Workshop stuff in a pot's obviously a rip off. You get like four fucking bases done. I'm pretty happy with that. I've been in love with this stuff for a long time. Anyway, all right. That's enough of that. And sorry for clapping. Any questions before we go on with the subject of the show today? Oh, there was one piece of news that I'd also like to talk about. Recommend anything for night bases. Used Elmer's glue and now the base warp completely after base them. Yes, I would 100% use the Milliput. That's what I like. I've used on really, really large models. I'll try and find you one. But I've used it on really large models. It's quite heavy, the Milliput, then. You end up with like a heavier model. But I actually think that's good because it tends to not get knocked over as much either. So, like, there's literally no downsides. I've seen no downsides. Because anyway. At this rate, next week, Rob and Tom will be taking Crusade Narrative with their best bros at Video Game. You shut up. You shut up. There was another question I saw in the chat, which was, how do you see Legion of Grief at the minute? Legion of Grief are currently, in my mind, either not even a legal army, or they're medium. They're medium fine. I would say that they are S-A-B-B, B tier. B tier. You probably could win three. You could go 3-2 at a 5-day event. Maybe 4-1 if you're super lucky. Unlikely to be 5-0. is how I'd see them, if that helps you at all. Right, so the one thing I'd like to talk about that I saw yesterday that everyone was very excited about, but I wasn't overly excited about, but still worth talking about, was the release of HeroQuest. HeroQuest have been bigging up for a long time, and they released HeroQuest, but they didn't release it. They released a Kickstarter for it, but they only released a Kickstarter for it in the US, in Canada, so not for England. It's made by a company called Hasbro, or it's made by a smaller company, and they just have rented the license off Hasbro. I can't remember which. I think it's directly from Hasbro. I think they also, don't think that they actually used Kickstarter. They used their own internal in-house Kickstarter. So they didn't even support a platform. They just made it themselves. So effectively, like, an incredibly elongated pre-order. So yeah, a Kickstarter. Would I allow Legion of Grief in the Super Series? I think I've ruled it against it, because it's not, well, the actual rules as written are, it's not allowed, mate, is the question in the chat. The rules as written, post GHB 2020, the rules aren't allowed. So I'd be making an exception in that case, and I probably wouldn't. Yeah, so huge companies with huge pockets doing Kickstarters can get in the bin. I agree. I think that's the key part that I'd like to talk about. Hasbro suck. Yeah. I think the main point I'd like to make, it's exciting that they're releasing a game. There's all female equivalents of all the models in the box. Awesome. That's cool. The models look cool. Their campaign at the start looked cool. But they've got big pockets, and they should be like paying for this stuff ahead of time anyway. That's how these things work. So I think, fuck them. Like Dave said in the chat, I think, fuck Hasbro, fuck HeroQuest, fuck them. That's all I can think, straight off the bat. And also, like, it's Kickstarter and that whole process is really meant to help those indie companies out. Those, oh, hello, Lex, thanks for subscribing, baby, for 7 months. I really, really, you know, you see these smaller companies or even these just single guys who are producing miniatures for you to 3D print or do STL files down. Oh dear, we've had a break in. I think it's silly, and it detracts from those poor people, who are trying to make a living, who don't end up with all that money in their pocket at the start. So Hasbro could have taken a punt. They could have released a really solid product. They could have supported it in a really big way. I think it's a huge negative, and I just whatever. Like, so it gets no hype. It gets a 0 hypes out of 5 for me, and also a 5 out of 5 shills for me. So I'm not into it, and I think it's just it's rubbish. Totally agree. Kickstarter is not for big establishment companies like Hasbro. Good, we agree with that. I back Kickstarter games all the time. Hasbro can get stuffed. So Professor Mork, I agree there. Kickstarter makes sense if you're supporting the process to get the game made. It appears that HeroQuest is finished and ready to go. I agree with that. It's like just a super advanced pre-order that they're effectively saying. 10th edition 40k brought to you by Kickstarter. Yeah, we AOS players should have its own cryptocurrency, Hydro Coins. I'm into that. Let's do that. But that's, anyway, that's really all. Unless anyone else has got anything else that they'd like to say about in the chat, I would like to move on with what I was mainly going to talk about today. If anyone's got a point, anyone questions? No, I just want the game. Stupid shipping options. I also, like, wouldn't mind the game, but I 100% think that the way they've done it is shit, and hyping up a pre-order is just whatever. So, not bothered. Okay, time to talk about a very exciting thing. HeroQuest was my first foray into RPGs minis. It's a shame with the funded side of things, but I'll probably buy. That's okay if you want to buy it. Like, if you're like, especially if it's got that huge sentimental value to you, like, I understand it, Seb. And I think that's, like, I think it's completely, like, as a consumer, I have no problem with you buying it. I'm not like, everyone must boycott it. If you want it, buy the thing. I've got no issues. I'm just attacking the company because the company have done a shitty thing. In a board game, which I don't normally talk about board games anyway, it's just kind of Warhammer adjacent, right? And so I just thought I'd bang on about it. Right. Let's talk about this event at the weekend. Banger, I hardly even knew her. That's where the event is being held. over in Northern Ireland in Bangor, and I am going to look at the lists. So it's not super busy because obviously they have to keep down numbers for restrictions. What up, Hawkeye? Yes, Meatballs, afternoon. There are way better dungeon crawlers out there anyway. Sentiment and nostalgia are also fair enough, though. Yeah. Right, okay, so I'm going to talk about this event. So it's a really, really cool pack. I talked about it on Monday night show, but I'm going to talk about it again. You take 1,500 points. Nothing that's in your 1,500 points can be replicated and put into your two 500-point sideboards. You have to use both of your 500-point sideboards at some point over the course of the weekend, right? I think it's just the one day. And I think Pete and the guys there are doing a format that's really, really viable where they're only having 10 people play, or I think it's because Northern Ireland allows that at the minute. And then next week, another 10, then they go through to a final. Yeah. There are 2 days, though. Yeah. I know there are 2 days. the Bangors and Mash sideboard system. That's now its name. Congratulations. The Bangors and Mash sideboard system is what this is now called. Which is cool. It's a very cool system and a big fan. So I'm going to read through the list and I'm going to talk about the sideboards because I think it's super fun and you guys might enjoy it because I enjoyed looking at it earlier. And I'll say a big shout out to Pete for doing this and everyone in Northern Ireland. Okay, so first up, Barry White is playing with Stormcast Eternals. Let's get it on. Ow! Bam, bada, bam. Right, so he's got a Stormcast Eternals army, which is the Hammers of Sigmar. Oh, so 2017. He's got Gav Shawhart, a Knight Incantor, and a Lord Relictor, who's the general. And he's got Vandas Hammerhand. Oh dear, a narrative. He's got 3x5 Liberators in the battle line. He's got 5 Decimators and 5 Protectors. Oh, this is so sassy. He's got a Celestar Ballister, and then he's got the Comet, the Dias Arcanum as well. And an extra command point. You're a sideboard. sideboards have to use you have to use no duplications. Count me in. That sounds amazing. Good. Okay, so the two sideboards are, one of them is a 500-point Celestant Stardrake, Lord Celestant on Stardrake, okay, and the other one is a Heralder and then 10 Retributors, which is really fun. So it's like, do I want to add the Stardrake? Which is, they're both very different options, right? When I add the Stardrake, I could do Rain of Stars. I can add plus to my casting, which is going to help me with that Everblaze Comet. Or I just want more bodies on the board, and more wounds and more combat, in which case I put the Retributes in the list. And so you kind of get that choice. It's really fun, the idea that you're going to mix it up. And also for the player, probably fun over the day. Like mixing your list up a little bit would be super cool. And it's also nice that it's just like a plug and play option. All you got to do is remember what the Stardrake does, then the Knight Heralder and the Retributors. So funky, in my opinion. Does the sideboard format favor factions, books with lots of units, e.g. make 2 Daughters of Cain sideboards and you've all used almost everything in the book? I think it will obviously benefit some factions, but that question is kind of moot, but it's a good one to always ask so that I can, for new people, can explain. Some armies just have more options than other armies. Like, you know, I understand that as a society, and especially as an incredible audience, you probably are the sort of people who always want to walk at the slowest pace of the last member in our society. In this case, for least units, maybe it's Daughters of Cain. But, like, effectively, you're like, oh, I don't want to, like, push out that group just because they've got a small amount of models. So you don't want that format. I understand it. Same with the Super Series. But ultimately, this really Games Workshop's fault. It's not like everyone else's fault, and it's not like, oh, suck it up, but it is a bit, because, you know, hopefully some of these ranges get expanded out more. But you're right, some formats will always negatively impact armies with less options, but also generally the meta has an effect on armies with less options. If we look at like Sinesh as an example, when they were in their like height, armies that just couldn't produce any shooting because their book wasn't particularly wide, looking at Iron Jaws at the time or some other stuff, ended up just in a really tough spot. So you're right, but all formats and the game generally are a negative impact on armies that don't have lots of models. Yeah. But it's a great question. So then Ben Cochrane, great guy, great guy, has got, yes, Cochrane, he's got, which is Colin's son. Anyway, Seraphon, Fangs of Sotek, an Astaroth Banner Bearer, and Croak. He's got Star Priest, a Skink Priest, and a Skink Oracle and Troglodon. He has got 40 Skinks, 2 times 10 Skinks, and 5 Saurus Guards. I don't know what, Belwyn Vortex, obviously, and Bound Geminids. I don't know what is going on in Northern Ireland, but all the young lads are just demons. Ben and Chris, just terrors of the mortal realms. but then his two sideboards are a Saurus Scarvet on Carnosaur with 2 times 5 Saurus Knights and 10 Saurus Warriors. This is, by the way, in the Fangs of Sotek. Or his other sideboard is a Salamander Hunting Pack, a full Salamander Hunting Pack, and 2 times 3 Ripperdactyls units. So they're going to play very, very differently. I mean, he's got all of the power, really, in the 40 Skink block and Croak there. But then you can just add on a Carno and make all the Saurus loads better, and then have some more bodies for objectives. Or he can just go for more output, put the Salamanders down and the Rippers, which are also good for just going and holding objectives as well. 3 Rippers is only 80 points. That's like an amazing, amazing... No, that can't be right. 3 Ripperdactyls are not 80 points. Is that right? I'm sorry, everyone. I'm going to have to go on War Scroll Builder right now because that can't be right. It's like a cavalry unit. I'm just checking. Does anyone know? Has anyone got the book to hand? Because we're about to be triggered. They can't be 80 points. I know I've done the review. I just need to just need to double check that because it's blowing my mind. Add unit. Ripperdactyls. 80 points. What the fuck is going on in the world? Oh dear. Okay. Fuck me. Okay. All right. They fly. They're like a billion. Right. Okay. Doesn't matter. They're super cheap. They can just run onto an objective, hold it. They're not there for grabbing it. They're just a throwaway unit, but they're a super fast throwaway unit that can take out like a 10-man unit that's holding an objective. I'm talking about like a 10-man light unit, not a 10-man like heavy unit, obviously. I, for one, welcome our Seraphon Overlords. just a little breakdown there, didn't I? They did need a cheap unit in the book, though, to be fair. Those poor Seraphon. Those poor fellas. Right, Colin. Oh, how I love him. And also, I found a picture today of me in hospital the evening after playing Colin on one of the twice he's put me in hospital. So he is taking Daughters of Cain, which we talked about, in Hagnar with a Slaughter Queen and the Cauldron of Bud, another Hag Queen, a Blood Rat Medusa, which is cool. And then he's got, oh, nice, 4 times 10 Sisters of Slaughter, which is sweet. So he hasn't got any big blocks. That's quite fun. And then 2 times 5 Heart Renders, and then 5 Doomfire Warlocks. This is very different to what you would normally see from Daughters of Cain army. Normally you would see at least one big block of 30 to benefit from like the multiple buffs, but he's playing it super MSU, which is super cool. That's actually really, really cool, and it's in the Slaughter Troop as well. And then his two sideboards are Marathi, 480 points of Marathi, or 20 Blood Sisters, which again is, so there's the big combat block that you can put in. So it's either MSU with a giant combat block or MSU with Marathi. Either way, it's a really nice take. I know it's Hagnar. I know there aren't loads of units in the book, but you don't normally see a list constructed this way. And I wonder if it had to be constructed this way so that it got that 500 points got left. But then he's added the Doomfire Warlocks, which aren't often taken. They really aren't. You don't see them almost at all. And you rarely see the Blood Rat Medusa as well. You sometimes see the Medusa. But like you almost never see the Doomfires. By the way, Wikipedia has now been updated with almost all Sigma units. Viva la Communist Revolution. There we go, everyone. So you can find all of your free rules via Wikipedia. So viva. Viva la. Anyway, that's a super cool list and really does show you how you can mix up the format, right? And I love that he's just like, Marathi, this key piece, Who am I fighting against? I think someone great to play Marathi against at the minute would be Lumineth, because they can attack you in so many phases, right? They've got output from magic, they've got output from shooting, they've got output from combat. And I know Seraphon have the same thing, but they've got bodies to bog Marathi down, whereas Marathi can get into any of those big pieces, especially just the units they have on the board, because they normally users get into the battle line, is what I'm trying to say. Just take the bodies off, which is where they're weak. So run into them, take the bodies off, and I think you're in a really good spot. So super cool. Super cool. Marathi into those. And obviously with the Daughters of Cain update coming soon. Then Dave Kane. Oh, the danger. Danger Kane is taking his Caradhran Overlords. He's got an Engine Master with Dirigible Suit and an Arcanaut Admiral. He's got 2x10 Thunderers. He's got 2x3 Sky Wardens and an Ironclad, of course. That takes him to his 1,500 points. He's also Barak Nar. Now, his two sideboards are an Aether Chemist, a Gun Hauler, another Gun Hauler, and then the Escort Wing. So the battalion is included in the sideboard, so that makes him have the sideboard there. And his other one is a Navigator and 12 Engine Riggers, which is super cool, which is a 400-point block as well. So that's actually that's a shooty, fighty unit that's really quite fragile. But he's got lots of the key points. The really interesting thing is the Thunderers. If he's playing with the Engine Riggers, oh no, actually they can go in the Ironclad. Yeah. So it's just a lot of shooting there. I mean, you don't really mix up how this army plays. You just change up what shooting you do. But the difference between the Engine Riggers and the different Gun Haulers is pretty severe, and it will change how he plays the list. And it does show you what that 500 points does in a list. Sometimes, the Skaven army I'm building at the minute is a really good example. You build 60 Clan Rats, start there, super fun. And then you just add on however, the 1,500 points more of stuff that you want to take, which is cool, super fun. Big, big fan of that. And I think it's almost like you just take your Cortex out, you saw it. So yeah, loving the side four battle. Yeah, it's cool, right? So then David Neagle with his Stormcast Eternals. Let's go, baby. So he's got an Anvils of Heldenhammer army, again, Stormcast Eternals. He's got Lord Celestine on Stardrake, a Drake Sworn Templar, a Vexilar, and an Encanter. He's got the classic 3x5 Liberators in the battle line. He's got that extra command point. But his sideboard is a Lord Castellan with 2x6 Castigators and an Everblaze Comet. Oh, dear. What? And then he's got sideboard 2, 6 Vanguard Raptors with Hurricane Crossbows, and 2 Celestar Ballisters. I'd be interested to see them use Marathi Ghazghal damage limitation for Gargants, but go even further. Gargants can only suffer X wounds per turn. Oh, do you know what? 8-pointed star painting has asked me to drink some water in the chat, and I will hydrate. Hey, Arcaray, I hope you're doing well. Jace Harper, what's going on? Really, really, really tastes like fairy liquid. Wow. Don't you say Liberators are bad? Why do most of this take them? Because they're cheap. Everyone has them. They're 90 points. They're not bad. They just don't do anything. They are a classic battle line tax. They do hold objectives well, which is what their entire job is to do. The thing about battle line. Okay, it's a great question. So your battle line either does something or it's a tax. I know that seems really obvious, but armies lean into how their battle line works, or they just take the core of what they can do. The Skaven example would be the 3x20 Clan Rats are really good in a different way to how the Liberators are, because the Liberators are only 5 models. They do hold an objective, but they won't hold an objective well. They can fight better than the Clan Rats, but the Clan Rats can control more board space. You can screen better with the Clan Rats. And you can even lean into the Clan Rats if you want to and have more of them. They really all change up if you compare them to something like Daughters of Cain, where their battle line is the powerhouse, really, of the army. You can buff them so they can just roll through the enemy. So there's no fat on the list. It's just super sleek. You're not spending any points on something you have to take, so you can take the good stuff. You've just got the strength. And also Daughters of Cain are a good example, because their battle line is also on small bases in large models, unit sizes. So you end up with a lot of board control and the ability to screen, push, and also hold board space more. So Liberators are bad because they don't, even when they're still on an objective, if you compare them to Judicators, which were was the kind of conversation for a long time before all the new stuff came out, is at least Judicators, when they're sat on the objective, are projecting power by shooting somewhere further into the field. So you've got the control where you are, but also you're still involved in the game. So Battleline really does kind of have this like sliding scale of usefulness and still tax always, but sometimes it's just the thing you want to take anyway. Skinks are obviously the super phenomenal example at the minute, where they're incredibly cheap, great board control. They can project power with shooting, but they're also a unit you can just buff to high heaven and they become the danger piece in your army. What's really good about the skin... Oh, God. You all want me to drink now because it tastes like fairy liquid. You're all bastards. You're all bastards. Yeah, I really should have washed that out more. That is not fun. Okay, right, let's go with some more lists. No, I'm not drinking more or more. You can all fuck off. taking a picture of this fucking Twitch chat. You're all dicks. Look at you. Okay. I can't be arsed with you. Get out. Okay, let's talk about more lists, because this is fun. This particular list is cool because he's just replacing the different shooting in the castigators to the ballisters. Okay, I hope that I'm drinking along with you. I appreciate that, everyone. You made me really fuck up David Neagle's list, but I hope the question about Battleline made sense and helped, if that is good. Right, next up, Demons of Chaos. From Dean, who I'm in a team with. If team events are happening in Northern Ireland next year, which, great question. Don't even know if English people could. I don't think I can travel 5 miles, which really takes my morning walks out. So Dean, great guy. He's taking a Legion of Chaos Ascendant list, Legion of the First Prince with Bellacor, Vermin Lord Deceiver, Kairos, 30 Plague Bearers, 2x10 Plague Bearers, and a Suffocating Gravetide. So that's his 1,500 point list. And then he's got, as a sideboard one, Rottigus, an extra command point, Umbral Spell Portal, and Geminids, which is super fun because that Spell Portal will work really, really well with Kairos, obviously. And then Rottigus being able to do board-wide spells is super strong as well and really leans into the Plague Bearer kind of build. Then sideboard two is a Gaunt Summoner Azeench, 10 Brimstone Horrors Azeench, an extra command point, Warp Lightning Vortex, and an Aether Void Pendulum. So a very different list there, where he's like leaning into the output more and hoping to just put that Warp Lightning Vortex down anyone. Hawkeye, I am meant to be going to Warlords in Feb if it's on. I know that Kairos can't cast Rottigus' spell, but Rottigus can cast Rottigus' spell. That's what I mean. He's going to cast his own spell. Also, big shout out to Iron Gutsman in the chat. The only person in the world, that's apart from maybe Heywo, but that's different, that has convinced me to play Ogre Maw Tribes. Only one who's ever been able to do it, ever, since the new book came out. I mean, that is gross. That is really gross. There is a place to read these lists. I will include a link in the show notes if you're watching on YouTube or if you're watching back as a podcast. And of course, I think Peter's in the chat might be able to send them to you now. Next list. I won't go through too many more because there's a whole bunch more. The point was just kind of like point out like how much it changes up, which I think is cool. That one is not. Sorry, Evan. More Tribes one doesn't change. Oh, hold on. It doesn't change loads. Let's from the Multiverse. Well, that's the first Condo Crucial I've ever seen on Twitch. Do they know Wargamers? Buddy, this is... Honest Wargamer listeners and viewers, we fuck. Like, that's just a fact. Like, we straight fuck all the time. No question. Even if it's just ourselves, we need that. Like, if an honest war game is near you, you need condoms galore. That's all I can say. Please don't drink more. Okay, I won't drink anymore. Right, anyway. So Evan is running an Ogre Moor Tribes army with the Blood Gullet. He's got a Slaughtermaster, and he's got, who's the general, and he's got Ribcracker, and he's got 8 Iron Guts as battle line, 2x4 Lead Belchers, and he's got 12 Gluttons, and in the Gorman Battalion. Then his sideboard is a Frostlord on Stonehorn, and 2x2 Frost Sabers, or he's got a Huskard on Stonehorn, which I really think is like, I need to get a Stonehorn in here. How could I do this? Who has got the Bellwind Vortex in that list as well. So it doesn't change the list up tons, which I think is interesting, but it does add up Butcher and a Huskard in one, Frostlord and 2x Frost Sabers in the other. So it does change up a bit, but not overly. You know, he just adds a Stonehorn of a certain type, really. Yeah, man, 40k fuck boys. Isn't it dice who fuck us? That's right, InfoStorms. Yes, that is correct. Are you sure you're drinking this water? Fish have sex in water. I should have thought about that. I'll try and finish this at least day off. So Kevin Harrington, he's taking OCR Bone Reapers and he's taking Petrifex Elite. He has got a Bone Shaper, a Liege Cavalos. He's got 10 Mortite Guard. He's got 5 Cavalos Death Riders and 10 Cavalos Death Riders. 2 Mortec Crawlers. Interesting little thing. A lot of the lists that I've seen recently for OCRs have included a lot of Death Riders. I've seen more Death Riders going into lists than I have seen Mortec recently. I don't know why, but I think they're great. It's just an interesting kind of change. Oh, and he's also taken the battalion, the Mortec Ballistari. Now, one sideboard is a Mortizen Soul Reaper, 2 Morghast Archai, and 3 Immortis Guard, which is super cool. Super cool little addition there, because you rarely see the Archai at all, and you almost never see the Immortus Guard unless you're running around with Nagash, which you are not. But they're very tanky. They're very, very tanky. And then the next one, the Mortis and Soul Mesa and 6 Necropolis Stalkers. Oh, let me tell you, Kevin's got it going on. So I wouldn't say some of these are the most competitive choices, but they're very cool additions. So 6 Necropolis Stalkers, by the way, will, in Petrifex especially, will literally delete anything they touch. They're about it. The Lumineth dice are small. Wait, so much shooting in the meta make 4-inch Mortec easy pickings. Good point, yeah. So then lastly, second to last, Pete Pratt. He's got a Gloomswipe Gits list. Nice. Loom Boss on Mangler Squigs. Is it a Jaws of Mork list? Fungoid Cave Shaman. I don't think it is. 40 Stabbers, 20 Stabbers, 6 Squid Herd, 10 Loon Smashers, and 6 Rock Guts. Apparently Rock Guts are the one, and I don't think they are, but everyone who tells me that they are tell me I'm an idiot and they want to fight me. So I'm just going to say. Anyway. Yeah, Stalkers are blenders. Stalkers are amazing. They're a bit slow, but there's a really cool battalion that I've never seen ran that I'm tempted to build and paint, which is super cool for OCR Bone Reapers with the the Stalkers and the Archai, where you get a pre-game move. And also, it's like, it makes the army fairly low drop. You probably could get like the Cavalos Death Wedge Battalion, or whatever the fuck it's called, the Horse Battalion in there as well for your battle line. Try and get like down to maybe like a 4-ish drop, and most of the time you might be able to go first-ish, I think. You might be able to go like first a lot, is what I'm trying to say. And then you could just run forward. Yeah, you're going to hit a screen because everything you've got just doesn't fly, apart from the Archai, but the Archai might be able to go and just like smash something at the back. It's a kind of cool list. You can get 2 drop. Okay, I'll write a list later and check one out. His 2 sideboards though are Madcap Shaman, 2x10 Boing Grot Bounders, very cool. They're not great, of course. And then the other sideboard is 6 Fellwater Trogoths and a Skitterstrand Arachnarok. Now that is fancy. You very, very rarely see a Skitterstrand Arachnarok, But the ability to like potentially threaten the back characters with a spider that can spook you from behind is particularly useful, especially as we're coming up to spooky season. Halloween isn't far away, and there's nothing anyone wants more than a spider in the rear, is what I've always said. And then last up, Sam Wright with his Lumineth. Ooh. So he's going for Zytrek. Nice. He's taken Avalonor, the Stoneheart King. And then he's got a Cathalar as well. He's also got another Cathalar, and he's got a Stone Mage. And then he's got 10 Wardens, another 10 Wardens. He's got 2 times 10 Sentinels. And then he's got the Aurelian Legion, of course. So that's the core and the Twin Stones, obviously. And then his sideboard one is 10 Dawn Riders, 5 Dawn Riders, which is one sideboard, and the Chronomantic Cogs. So he obviously is going to build that part of his army to go super fast when he wants to and just like run across the board. And then sideboard two is the Light of Altharion and 10 Alarith Stone Guard. And he's got the Emerald Life Swarm and Prismatic Palisade. You've got to say Life Swarm is obviously a really, really solid pick going into Lumineth, because obviously if they lose their captains in those units, then they're no longer wizards, which is pretty impactful. So I would say that, like, you know, if you've got something that can pick that out, then being able to put one of those back, or even just any damage, really, even chip damage coming into some of those like light infantry units, being able to just bring D3 of those back, pretty good, especially on Sentinels in the right situation. So Inferno Storms is talking about that battalion that I talked about, which he played against and he enjoyed it. So 15 Cavalos Riders, 15 Cavalos Riders, 5 Cavalos Riders, another 5 Cavalos Riders, 2 Liege Cavalos, 2 Death Riders Battalion, 2 drops. Yeah, no, that doesn't include the Stalker Battalion, but that's a cool battalion anyway. But that's a good one. Anyway, this list is quite fun because it's either going to like have a very fast element that's going to rush forward and hit you in the Dawn Riders, or it plays a little bit more tanky and midfieldy by taking the Light of Altharion and the Alarith Stone Guard. So it's fun that those 500 point changes change up how lists work completely, or it just adds, I've got my list and then I'm going to go fast now, for instance, or I'm going to be more tanky in that situation. And I think some armies obviously can't do this quite as well. I really liked Colin's Daughters of Cain list because it's like, I'm MSU, I'm having a great time. Now I've got Marathi. Okay, now I've got my big brick of 20 Blood Sisters. So it's a fun mix-up that you don't often see. And I really like the format. I think the format is super fun. Super fun. And congratulations to Pete and all the guys over there in setting it up. And I would love to hear some feedback. Maybe Pete will come on the show next week to talk about it. Or someone will come on the show next week to talk about it. Because it looks very cool. What do you guys think is the question, and what would you guys put in sideboard? If you're listening back live now, obviously you could just tell me. Leave some comments on YouTube below on what you take and what you put in your sideboard. What about you guys? In what armies in the Twitch chat would you guys play with as a sideboard army? Is the real question. Like, who would you take? For me, mix up some Skaven pretty nicely. Unfortunately, Storm Fiends don't fit into that 500 point block, which is a bit of a shame. Gotrek's also out of that 500 point block as well, which is probably good, to be honest. Otherwise, there's a bit more plug and play. That's an interesting question. What would I use? Maybe Legion of Chaos Ascendant. That could be quite fun. Do something quite interesting there. Yeah. That would be fun. I think my rockets and boing grots would smash your love rats up. I've got no doubt about that. But eventually, I'm going to get good with the love rats, and then they shall bring nothing but love and destruction to the world. I'm going to play the Skaven like really role play. I just want everyone to know that when I do start playing, it's going to get real emotional. Main list: Tuskor Chariots, sideboard Cockatrices, Tomb King Tristan, 2 Bone Giants, and a Necrotect. Boom, 500 points. I literally don't understand what you just said. Would you use it in the Super Series? Sorry again. No, I wouldn't use it in the Super Series because you would have to... It's another additional thing that you'd have to explain out to the audience. It's a cool little tactical element, I think, that would be fun. It would be fun to run some singles events and do some tournament coverage of it. I think that would be really fun. I could see some like sliding boxes on an overlay. Like, he's chosen this edition sort of thing. But I don't think it would, I don't think right now it would work, or right now, but I think it's a cool way to make it so that people also get to play with more toys. So if you can't, it also, looking at those lists, they're all strong-ish lists, don't get me wrong, when you include a sideboard here or there. But it also allows you to just take other stuff, which is fun. You don't have to, like, hard commit. And you also can kind of prep, you know, like, oh, what if I play this one hero mission, include a bigger hero? What if I play... So it does help. It makes stronger armies stronger, but it does also make weaker armies weaker. And the real question is does it make the weaker armies stronger than it makes the stronger armies stronger? Is that kind of like... Does it give a leg up to the right armies, the armies that need it the most? Does it bring the armies into more equity? I mean, I don't think you'd really ever be able to guess at that. I mean, I could be one of those podcasters who just talks with utter confidence all the time. That's not me. I think that you would never be able to tell, but I feel like it would help mitigate some problems some armies do have. If that helps. Are the Love Rats getting converted with to all be Robert Smith from The Cure? Maybe. I'll try and make them look a little bit sassier if you guys are interested. But I'm going to find some like love hearts on Amazon and stick them all over. Or probably not Amazon if I can help it. But somewhere all over the models. Just cover them in love hearts. It'd be great. Legion of Chaos Ascendant isn't the same boat as Legion of Grief, right? Sorry, random question. No, it's because that was in an actual publication. So Legion of Grief... I mean, Legion of Grief was in a book. Same as the Wrath of the Everchosen. Wrath of the Everchosen, there was a battle tome. And Legion of Grief was just in a supplement in Forbidden Power. I wish that they would just say one way or t'other. Zalvo in the chat says Stormcast Wizard plus Comet or Skinks for my Seraphon, nothing new but could work. Okay, yeah, I mean it could work, definitely. Sorry Again says Chapter Tactics, we're discussing Combat Patrol, 500 points, 40k tourneys, and now you could have the best of three and a sideboard. I thought that was such a good idea. It is, and it's also a great entry point for new players as well. It's whether or not the game scales is always the problem. I mean, the game isn't balanced at 2,000 points, let alone at 500 points. So is that really a question? Probably not. And producing more ways for people to play is great. Problem is that obviously I've got that emotional kind of baggage I've got at the minute where playing seems like this far-flung at tournaments of any sort of variety. It feels like it's hard to get excited about even organizing or talking about them because it feels like they're not really a thing. I know that they are a bit in some places, but it's so rare that it feels like not a thing. Please set a precedent to allow Legion of Grief. Okay. Well then, fuck it. Let's do it. Legion of Grief is in. I don't know if I've changed the Super Series stuff. If I'll change the pack. Whatever. It sounds fine. Imagine if they publish an actual list. Dave, imagine. Imagine. Okay. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you guys today. I hope you've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed looking at those lists. I think they're fun and it's interesting. And I hope I've answered some questions. Don't know. I think it's been fine. We'll see. But I've enjoyed talking to you guys a lot. So thank you. Thank you for joining me for all the stream streaks. We're on the road to 200 now. 13 days away. It is going to be on a Tuesday. So please do join me. So it's a week on Tuesday when it's going to be. What's my guess on Blood Bowl 2nd edition? No guess. I reckon it's going to have some orcs and humans in it. Because they've said that. And that's my only guess. That helps. So sorry. Such a lame answer at the end of the show. Anyway, fuck you, buddies. It's been a pleasure. I hope you have a great day, whatever you're doing. Look after yourselves, stay hydrated, not fairy water, just regular water. And thank you to everyone on the podcast, everyone on Patreon, and thank you to everyone on YouTube for leaving comments. If you ever want to leave us a like or a subscribe or a YouTube comment or a podcast review, all that stuff is like super beneficial to like the algorithms of the gods, so that would be cool. And thank you for supporting us, big love, and I'll see you soon. Bye. I'm not going to do that bye. I'm not going to do like a high-pitched bye. Good.